You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy show coming up for you. After the 9:30 news, Dr. Kristen Lively is going to join us, and we're going to talk about this bombing of an IVF clinic that happened in Palm Springs over the weekend. Also a different case in Georgia that is raising many questions. And Dr. Lively will be here after 9:30. In hour number two, she's the fabulous farm babe. It's been way too long since we had Pam Yonke on the show. Among many other things, we're going to talk about mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're going to talk about mental health in farmers. And we've talked about this a lot of times before with Pam, and what services are available to farmers. Again, can be very stoic people.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk about things out loud. I can handle this myself.
I got things to do.
I got things to do. Yeah, exactly. So the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, joining us after 10 o'clock. At 10:35, there's a great article about Wisconsin State Parks celebrating 125 years. So we're going to love on our state parks a little bit and find out which is your favorite state park in Wisconsin. And then we're going to share the best of the worst reviews of Wisconsin state parks.
I may or may not adopt voices.
Oh, it's going to be so worth it. That's our audio sorbet segment at 10:35. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Calvin found this one. It's I'm going to mule it over. Let's mule it over. That's coming up around 10:51, so stick around for that. Right now, though, I did want to mention over the weekend, remember Donald Trump?
No. Who?
When he was running for president, talking about the most beautiful word in the world, tariffs.
Yeah.
So many beautiful things, but that's among the most beautiful things are tariffs, because other countries have to pay for them. Yeah, that's not actually how tariffs work. And now we have the president's own words essentially confirming this. This is from CNBC, published over the weekend. Trump tells Walmart to eat the tariffs after the retailer warned it would be raising its prices. We mentioned this on Friday.
Jane, we've been talking about tariffs and what they mean for months now, but yeah, this one now is finally, he has come to the realization that he was wrong. He's now getting in the faces of businesses to say, suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah. Well, again, we told you Friday that Walmart had mentioned that they were going to start raising prices because of the tariffs.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, but China pays the tariffs, Trump is now saying, Walmart, you should eat it so you don't have to pass on the cost to customers.
To be fair, they could probably eat the tariffs. They probably could.
Of course they could.
It would cut into their tens of billions of dollars they make a year. But also, they shouldn't have to. They're a private business. They love private business, Jane. They're all about business. And one thing they hate, Jane, is when government gets in the way of
nanny state
enterprise and the market. So once, is this the GOP? Is this the Republican Party? Because it seems like just angry grandpas yelling at people.
Also, over the weekend, Scott Bessent.
Oh, your favorite person.
He is one of my favorite people in the Trump administration. He was on MSNBC over the weekend saying, quote, I was on the phone with Doug McMillon, the CEO of Walmart yesterday, and Walmart is, in fact, going to eat some of the tariffs, unquote. Contrast that, which happened over the weekend, mm-hmm. to this morning from the White House press office, Carolyn Leavitt.
Oh, God.
Quote, from this morning, the reality is, as the president has always maintained, the Chinese producers will be absorbing the cost of these tariffs, unquote. That's a lie.
No. Actually, they will absorb the cost. They'll pay for the cost.
And then they'll pass that on.
Exactly. There's another half of that equation she's not being upfront about. But it's fine. It's not like this hasn't been talked about ad nauseum for months now. And also, I think, what's his name? Bessent. I think he's lying. There's no way Walmart said, okay.
Well, when we're talking about 30% tariff and he says some Walmart will eat some of the tariffs, there's a lot of wiggle room there in that sum.
Yeah.
There's if the tariff is 30% and Walmart says, yeah, we'll eat 3% of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All they need is that to claim victory. This weekend, there's a gentleman who I am friends with on Facebook who posted a laundry list of accomplishments of the Trump administration of the past 7 days. I'm not going to get into them right now. Maybe we can look at that later, but I will say this. Those statements, all of them, were a one Google search to find out the truth. It's always about posting the victories, never the nuance, never the detail. We made a deal with China. You did not. You put it all on hold for 90 days, and then we're going to have to do this all. It's kind of like, you know, a continuing resolution. In 90 days, we have to come back
and revisit
kick it around again.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's I want to know the exact number Walmart says they're willing to.
And I would bet you money that they will never say how much. What of that 30% they're going to suck up?
If it goes above 3%, Jane, I will actually be impressed.
I would agree with you. Something else that happened over the weekend, the Wisconsin GOP convention was held. A couple interesting things to take away from this. Again, we had mentioned, if you were watching the end of Up North with Civic Media Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
That too. Dr. Lyerly filling in for him. Tim Michaels was reportedly at the GOP convention in Wisconsin over the weekend.
He must be so bored.
Right? Nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Don't you have a yacht somewhere you want to go visit?
Don't
something?
You have a business to run? Well, there's buildings all over the state with your name on it.
I think his brothers do that. Yeah. But yes, not a big surprise. The Wisconsin Republican Convention delegates back the resolution to enforce the strict 1849 abortion ban. So they all voted in, they approved a party resolution calling for Wisconsin to enforce the 1849 abortion ban. This vote essentially carries no authority, but it shows essentially that the party is pretty much unified behind that, which essentially offers no help for women who are pregnant, who might have problems with a pregnancy, unless the mother is going to die.
Yeah. Another thing that Dr. Lyerly had a gentleman named Alan Tipple, who's one of the organizers for a thing called Men for Choice. Men for the number four choice. And I think one of the things we need to also say in our language is that there's no help for women who are pregnant. There's no help for family going through it. There's no help for, like, we need to make this inclusive. We need to make sure that people understand this is it affects the woman. It affects the person who's pregnant.
But the entire family.
The entire family.
Absolutely.
It affects our communities, and that's made up of all different kinds of people.
Yep.
So that's something that I keep on telling myself. I was like, it's not just the pregnant person.
No,
it's
you're right.
So yeah, it's shocking. 1849. Let's go back to the middle
of the
19th.
The good old days was the good old days, Greg.
Jane, when you were pretty much property, you didn't have to worry about anything.
Things were so good back then. Let's go back to the 1850s. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join our conversation. Cindy from Appleton on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. Did you go to the GOP convention? I'm kidding.
Oh, God, I'd love that.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't be able to eat for a month if I did that. Of course, like, I could lose a few pounds. But yeah. Anyway, it takes two to make a baby, so this affects men just as much as it affects women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I really honestly don't think the abortion issue is such a big issue anymore because it obviously did not affect the last election. So
you don't think it's important?
I don't think I thought Dr. Lyerly would have this hands down because of that issue, and it didn't seem to even phase anything. So I just don't think women care about their rights anymore, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's interesting, Cindy. I appreciate your perspective. I'm not certain that I agree with that, but Donald Trump got reelected.
I think I understand. I absolutely understand the sentiment of it that, you know, my friends who are female, when things like this happen, the constant line is always they're voting against their interest. They always seem to vote against their interest. Now, that is what they say. I'm not making that claim but I understand where Cindy is coming from when a wide variety of people say, we want this man and this party who is going to systematically pick away at our rights and our freedom. Yep. That, yeah, they're voting out of their interest
against their interest.
And it does not make sense. I mean, we thought that all these kids lined up, and this is on us. We thought all these kids lined up in colleges across the country ready to vote early. We're like, oh, well, they're not going to vote for him.
And they did.
They did, because I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it until it's not true. Donald Trump, the brand, is cool. I don't get it, but it is.
One other little takeaway before we go to the break here. Derek Van Orten has an interesting idea about how we run our elections in Wisconsin, especially for ones, I don't know, that like Republicans lose.
Yeah.
We have a clip from Derek Van Orten from over the weekend at the Wisconsin GOP convention. Calvin, can you hit that clip, please?
What do you think went wrong, or what goes wrong in spring elections here in Wisconsin?
Republicans don't vote, period. Like, we just don't vote in spring elections.
How do you change that?
I don't think we should have a spring election.
Oh!
I think we need to, these guys in the state house, I think they should get rid of that and fold it into a midterm or a four-year cycle.
Yeah, we don't win in spring elections because our constituents don't vote. So let's not have that election anymore. That'll fix that problem.
Jane, that's a real folksy way of saying let's suppress votes.
You gotta kind of give him credit for saying it out loud.
Jane, I'll give him credit for not yelling at the reporter. I mean, it just seems
true,
like progress.
That's true.
But yeah, just I think we need to get rid of it. Oh. Huh?
Yeah. Our constituents don't vote in spring elections. So rather than, I don't know, maybe improving our messaging or improving our platform to encourage people to get out and vote. No, we're not going to do any of that. We just want to stop that election because that'll take care of this problem.
Well, Jane, it's apparently that Republicans don't vote. They never vote, which is wrong. They do vote. They just lose maybe in those elections. But also, if they don't vote, then what's the point, Jane?
Right.
If they're not coming out, then we don't need to do this at all. They're the ones that are important. It's not those, you know, Marxist, feminist, caravan riding, communists who are coming in to, you know, vote in the dozens in the spring.
Let's just not have that election.
Whomever's going to run against Derek Van Orten next year should take that quote and make it the centerpiece.
Oh,
to me, closing down elections. Please.
There are so many quotes that you could use to run on.
Yeah.
Seriously. All right. We have a break coming up. We will be right back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck. Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Stick around for that. Hour number two, the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will be here, and we're going to be talking about Wisconsin farmers and mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, among many other things, with Pam Yonke, so I hope you can stick around for that. Also, a reminder to join Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, from 2 to 4 today. He is going to have State Senator Kelda Royce on. They're going to have an update on the budget negotiations among the Joint Finance Committee. That should be an interesting discussion. Seems like there are cross purposes there, some different priorities, shall we say.
I like the way you said that so diplomatically.
Right? I'm trying.
It's very, very appeal to the people.
Thank you. So that's all coming up a little bit later on. Todd Alba today from 2 to 4 p.m. I did want to mention this, though. Of course, we had tornadoes in Wisconsin last week that hit Dodge County pretty hard. Now we have this from the Associated Press. Residents digging out from tornado damage after storms killed 28 in Kentucky, Missouri, and Virginia. And if you look at, again, tornadoes are, they're just so astonishingly destructive.
Yes.
Just horrifying. You look at some of these pictures. It's just a nightmare for these folks.
It's not to be this. I'm not poking light this because I've heard people, I've actually heard comedians make jokes about this, but tornadoes, like if you're in the middle of a hurricane, we're all in this together. Like it's, but tornadoes can, like, it can literally destroy one house and be on its way. It is one of the most unpredictable, most destructive things around. And Brittany Merlot was saying this morning that our usual is about 23 a year here in the state.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah. Last year was 45. And Tornado Alley, that
swath of the country,
is slowly enveloping Wisconsin.
It's moving north.
Moving north, yes.
Well, again, if you want to help out these folks, you can always make a donation to the Red Cross. It's probably one of the best ways to do it. Yeah. I'm always very twitchy about things that show up on social media. Make a donation here. Yeah. Make a donation here. You want to really make sure you vet those things to make sure it's not a scammer. But I know if you give to the Red Cross, that's one good way to do it. Donating blood is always a good
always
way to
great.
Do it. There is always a need for blood donors. But we certainly send our thoughts and prayers to the folks in these affected states. And I don't know whether or not they're going to be making disaster declarations and whether or not there's going to be any help from FEMA. Because, again, the head of FEMA just got fired. The head of FEMA was testifying before Congress and essentially said getting rid of FEMA and expecting states to pick it up is a really bad idea. And the next day, he got fired.
And we've been seeing in the past month or so, I mean, the president's been in office for
four months now,
we've seen traditional deep red states saying, hey, we need help, and being told, no, sorry, maybe you can get the money somewhere else.
You better figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, these are people who voted for this administration, and that's the only, I dare I say, comforting notion that it's going to be hard for all of us versus, like, you know, Arkansas gets a lot of money, but California, you got to do this. They're just going to turn their back on everyone.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Well,
I still think that red state governors might have a little bit more of an in and get a little bit more of a better response. We'll see what happens with Kentucky because Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, is a Democrat.
Yes, he is.
One other thing we wanted to mention before we go to the bottom of the hour news, and I'm imagining that you heard about this over the weekend, but former President Biden has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Yeah. Prostate cancer is not unusual for men as they get older.
Absolutely.
This is my understanding anyway. We can clarify this a little bit more with Dr. Lyerly when she joins us. But Biden was evaluated after a small nodule was found that necessitated further evaluation. He said in a tweet this morning, cancer touches us all. Like so many of you, Jill and I have learned that we are strongest in the broken places. Thank you for lifting us up with love and support.
And we'll talk about this with Dr. Lyerly as well as we usually do. But this is a should be a wake up call for especially men.
Go to the doctor, you guys.
A lot of times, but it's not just a matter of I'm too tough or I'm too, like, I don't want to go to the doctor. Sometimes it is scared. A lot of people are scared of the doctors.
It's like, I don't want to go because I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Also, I might not be able to pay. But also, a lot of times, a lot of men, and I've known many who've done this, who will say, like, I'll do it later. I got stuff to do. I got to take the kids to the thing, and I got to go to the thing to do the thing, and I got this thing and work. There's always work, Jane.
Sure.
And then before you know it, it's now it's a reactive state instead of a proactive state. So go to the GP, get that physical. If you're over a certain age, get that colonoscopy, get that checkup, get your heart checked. Please get your hearts checked and don't make excuses. I know it's tough and I know it can be expensive, but
preventative is always better. If you can catch it ahead of time.
And sometimes it's covered.
Yep. News is coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you do not yet have the Civic Media app, you should get it right now. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. Download the Civic Media app so you will be ready come this Friday when we have a four-pack of Brewers tickets up for grabs across the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So starts with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Friday, then our show, Matt Nair on Air, Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, and Maggie Dawn. Coming up on Friday, your chance, a statewide text to win contest to pick up a four-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers, but you have to enter via the app. So download it right now. It's really great. When I was working in the garden this weekend, I went and got some flowers, and I was listening to Jim Santel on the app.
Nice.
Just have it out in the garden with you. So download the Civic Media app. It is completely free. Joining us, she just got off the air and now she's back on the air. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. How are you, my friend?
Ta-da!
She's back.
Get rid of me.
She's back. Glad to have you here. I know you filled in for Pat Kreitlow this morning. He will be back tomorrow, but you had a little Bach in the dock earlier this morning. And we started off the show talking about this, Dr. Lierley. The GOP convention was over the weekend, and they did a big embrace, of course, of Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law, which essentially does not allow treatment for women unless they are going to die. Now, we had a caller who said, and I don't know that Cindy's wrong, is this really a big, important issue anymore? Because you were defeated by Tony Weed. Donald Trump was reelected. We spent a lot of time talking about women's reproductive health and what this could mean under a second Trump administration. And he got resoundingly into office. So is this even something that registers with voters anymore?
I think it does, especially in this situation. This law is very, very bad. Let's remember, the only legal abortion would be in the case of the life of the mother being in danger, but that's not well defined. So, how do you know? What line have they crossed? Is there some sensor that goes on? No. So that makes it really hard for us to provide any health care for pregnant women in this state. It drives doctors out of the state. It already has. It makes it hard for patients to ask questions. And frankly, it makes it really scary for people to even consider getting pregnant in
Yes.
this state. And I know we've got listeners who have had these feelings because I've had these conversations with folks. So this just reflects how out of step the GOP in Wisconsin is with the needs of the actual people. And we're going to see that in the midterms.
Well, and I think it's really important that you pointed out, and I said this from the very beginning when it got leaked that Roe was going to be overturned. There's no codification of what, how close to dead do you have to be? If there was something when your blood pressure gets to this point, then she can have an abortion. If you have this level of infection, then we are allowed to treat you. But there's nothing like, there are no, right?
No
There's
there's no
no parameters.
thing. Well, and it totally depends on exactly what's happening with that individual patient. I was just at the big national OBGYN weekend or conference over the weekend. 63,000 OBGYN doctors are represented by this organization. And I was talking with a colleague of mine in South Dakota, and she said that she had a patient who was bleeding. They went to their attorney in the hospital, and their attorney would not give them the freedom to take care of this patient. She bled down to a hemoglobin of 3. A normal hemoglobin is greater than 12. When your hemoglobin is 3, you have a 50% chance of dying, statistically. Do you really want your doctor to wait until you have a 50-50 chance of dying before they come in to help you? And that doesn't begin to speak to the potential problems that stem from waiting for
Yes.
so long. What if you end up with a blood clot or permanent heart damage because your heart has been deprived of oxygen because you didn't have enough blood, which carries your oxygen? So this reflects death, but also the morbidity that goes along with letting people get that sick so that they're on the brink of death. This is not health care. This is frank politics. And Jane, we're seeing this all over Wisconsin. The GOP does not care about women. They don't care about extending postpartum Medicaid to make sure that new moms have access to health care. They don't care about child care. They stripped all of the support
Yep.
for child care out of the budget. They don't give a damn about women in this state.
But yet, they're the party of we love women and we love families and we want women to have more families. And it's just, they are so at cross purposes. And I've said this many times before as well. They don't look ahead, they don't look at potential ramifications down the road, it seems to me. Right? It's
It's very
just,
transactional.
it is. It's. We this makes us feel bad. We think this is wrong, so we're going to outlaw it again without looking forward at potential scenarios, different scenarios. Every pregnancy is different. Not everything works the same. It doesn't. It just doesn't.
If I had a dime for every woman who identified as a Republican and then showed up on my doorstep seeking abortion care, saying whatever, I mean, everybody's got a story and everybody's story is different. Until you are in that situation, you don't truly understand. And I hope that you are never in that situation. But it's like cancer or heart disease, any sort of a medical condition that you are facing. All you want at that time is care. You want to know what all of your options are so
Yes.
you can make your own decision for yourself. You don't want Shea Sortwell or Robin Voss deciding for you what kind of care you're going to get.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, when you say that, it makes me think to myself, well, they're going to do their best to cut cancer care and heart care and all the care too. I mean, not even just abortion, but that's not the point. What I wanted to say is, you know, something to what Cindy, who talked about people not caring, but I want to tie it in with something you discussed in during Mornings with Pat Krylo is that, and this was with Alan Rip, Trip, Tribble? What was his name? Tribble?
Yes.
From Men for Choice, is that the stunning lack of education on the matter, especially for young people. And I would say it goes for men, for young men and young women, on the matters of abortion, access, why, what happens, how it affects you, why, you know, women need a medically induced abortion because their child is not viable. Like, they're not educated on it. So I think what happens is, because, you know, especially for a young man, 25 and younger, maybe doesn't have a girlfriend, doesn't have those prospects, he just goes, it's not me, I don't care. Donald Trump, there we go. And some women were like, well, I'm never going to be in that situation, so I don't have to worry. Plus, I'm pro-life anyways, I'll just have the baby. I'll have the baby and it'll be perfect. So I think the educational component is one of the biggest problems, especially with young voters.
But how do we rectify that when we can't talk about sex? I mean, we don't want to. Let's not educate him about sex. Let's not tell him how not to get pregnant. That's scary. Tell him that stuff.
Tell him don't have sex. That always works. That always works.
Yeah, abstinence only. Yeah.
That's why the talk with Alan this morning was so great, because this organization, Men for Choice, it's MEN, the number 4, choice.org. They go out and talk to men of all ages, but especially young men, about why this is important to them. Women understand because it's our bodies. We have periods. We have to use birth control. We get it because it's very real, but it's so different for men. And this just helps men understand what the consequences are and all of the different aspects, including the economic aspect and how it impacts you, not just now, but for the rest of your life. It's a beautiful organization that reaches a population that really needs to understand this in a very different way.
I would love to be in a hidden room off of the room where he's talking to young men about this. I cannot even imagine the question. I hope he's getting asked questions. Yeah.
Well, the way that they do it is when people come in, they get trained in how to talk about these things, and then they are sent out to talk to their friends. It's relational organizing. So they're not just cold calling people and saying, tell me about your abortion story. Like, that's not going to get you anywhere.
You want to talk about this?
You can use this with any issue. Yeah. When you can talk to your friends, not just about the weather or, you know, let's go get a beer, but it's real issues that are affecting our lives, not just the headlines, but the actual stuff that happens underneath that and how it impacts us in an authentic and very personal way.
I think also something that you, with Alan being there, that, and we mentioned earlier in the show, is that when we talk about these topics, of course, we're always going to be talking about the women or the people who are pregnant, who this affects directly, their bodies, but the other of, this affects the women, the men, the families, the community, the state on the whole. Like, it is the epicenter is, of course, the person who's pregnant, but the ripple effects, as you said, go out and touch everyone. So you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, I don't know.
It's not me.
Because you don't know. You don't. And those accesses, the access to that healthcare will affect the access you have to your healthcare, because if they get rid of this, well, then what's to say they won't get rid of this access and this program and this entitlement and this money? Then, you know, we're left with less and less and less.
Mm-hmm. We already see that. I mean, look at access to contraception, different types of contraception. People think this is an abortion. No, it's not. It prevents you from ovulating. There's so much misinformation out there. Look at TikTok. There's a whole movement that is intended to prevent women from using contraception by telling them that it's bad for their bodies. Well, you know, for some women, it's not good for you.
Sure.
For most women, it's way better for you than an unintended pregnancy. So you need to know who you are, what your risk factors are, what the best alternatives are for you, so that you can determine the best path forward.
Education is power.
Yeah.
Education is, I do not understand the idea that let's keep them ignorant because that's going to keep them safe. That seems cross purposes to me.
Let's keep them ignorant so we can continue to control them.
Yes.
Is what I hear.
Right there. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more we talk about it here and everywhere we can and have a real conversation, the more good information gets out there. The problem is that so much information is spread. You know, when you're doom scrolling at night before you go to bed and it's video after video, and then you end up down this rabbit hole because your algorithm is only showing you these things.
Yeah.
That is not healthy. And we need to find some sort of a way to break that so people can get different messages, messages that challenge what they're thinking about and what they believe in.
May I suggest we rate dogs? That's a good, that's a great, we're going to doom scroll. We're going to look at the news. We're going to do that. But in that tiny little moment before you go to bed, give yourself some audio sorbet. We rate dogs. It will light you up and make you smile. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. We want you uneducated so we can control you and tell you exactly what to do because it's
and what to think.
And sometimes it's just easier because once again, it's that idea of I got things to do. I don't have time to research and I don't have time to read and listen to this, that, and the other thing. So what do I tell me, Jane, what to think? Tell me.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We have a question from Sue on the live stream about a particular case in Georgia that's getting a lot of attention. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 o'clock, she's going to talk to the former senior advisor for rural development at the USDA, specifically about how GOP tax cuts could force rural hospitals to close, which rural hospitals in Wisconsin already having a tough time. So that will be coming up a little bit later on today with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Right now, we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She has her own show on the network on Saturdays and Sundays, Dr. Lyerly.
Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and of course, the amazing Civic Media app.
Yep. And how's the show going?
It's so much fun. Last week, I got to talk with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. We talked about, we just won this big Robert Wood Johnson culture of, so many words, culture of health prize in Green Bay, which really underscores all of the great work we're doing to ensure that people can live holistically and in a healthy
way.
That's
great.
So exciting. Yeah. And then this week we're going to be talking about childcare with folks from Sheboygan, the mayor, a member of the school board, a childcare provider, people who are looking at it from all different angles because we know childcare is under assault. It's about to lose a whole bunch of funding. It's already grossly underfunded and unavailable. This is going to make it so much worse. So we've got to continue to bang the drum and make sure that people understand childcare is in danger. And that means our families and our communities are in danger as well.
We had a question and comment on the live stream come in from Sue from Franklin. What about the woman in Georgia that is brain dead and being kept alive because she is 9 weeks pregnant? This is an actual case. This from MSNBC. Georgia hospital keeps brain dead pregnant woman alive because of the abortion ban. The 30-year-old was rushed to the hospital in February. She was declared brain dead at the time. She was 9 weeks pregnant. 3 months later, we are 3 months away from this. She's being kept alive with ventilators because of the strict abortion ban. Her mother says, quote, "It's torture for me. I come here and I see my daughter breathing by the ventilator, but she's not there." The woman is currently 21 weeks pregnant. They don't even know that this is a survivable infant.
Her name is Adriana Smith. She is a nurse. She is a mother. She has a 5-year-old child. and she is being kept alive on a machine because of politics. And it is unethical and deplorable that Georgia politicians are doing this to this family. Can you even imagine what they are going through?
What her family is going through, no.
Yes. And, you know, to your point, Jane, we don't know what the outcome for this fetus is going to be. She was like 9 weeks pregnant, yep, very early when this first happened to her. So she's only 21 weeks now. She hasn't even hit that point of viability. This is such a rare situation that we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. But regardless, can you even put yourself in the shoes of these family members of that five-year-old child who goes to the hospital and visits his brain dead mother, who is an incubator? All she is right now is an incubator because of those reprehensible Georgia politicians.
Well, and that was
unconscionable.
That was going to be my next question, and forgive the, you know, the non-educated whatever this is a person who has to be kept alive on a ventilator like this, is their body able to provide the nutrients and the protection, if you will, of a growing fetus? Or are the ventilators able to keep her alive to do those things? Or honestly, is what's going on with her just dooming the baby inside?
I think that is a critically important question, because think about a normal, healthy pregnancy and all the things you have to do in order to ensure that you are healthy. You have to stay active. You have to eat a healthy diet. You have to treat any chronic medical conditions. This is a woman who is breathing because of a tube in her throat. She's not even able to breathe on her own. Where is her nutrition coming from? Mm. It's coming from an IV. And IV nutrition is not nearly as good as the nutrition that we eat. So her bones are not healthy. She has to be anticoagulated. She's getting a bunch of different medications that this child, this fetus, is being exposed to. So yes, Greg, this is not a healthy environment for the fetus, and we have no idea what the impact will be on the fetus long term. And that's another thing that the family is going to have to deal with for the rest of this fetus, potentially this newborn's life.
Cassandra from New London is on the line. Cassandra, we're right up against the clock. If you can say what you have real quickly, please.
Hi. Yeah. So I saw this story this weekend, and it's absolutely horrifying. I think I've said before when I've called, I'm a nurse that works with patients who are actually being, they're being managed for organ donations. So, and some of them are brain dead. So to imagine this as a nurse taking care of a patient that's brain dead and is also pregnant at the time is actually absolutely horrifying. And the fact that, you know, the medications that they have to keep her on in order to even keep her body running, let alone like caring for a fetus, is, it's absolutely horrifying. And I can't imagine what her family's going through, especially considering like she has a son
yep,
that's also watching this, and this is just absolutely horrible. And they've, from what I've read also, they've noticed the fetus might have
fluid on the brain. Yep. Cassandra, we are up against the clock. We will continue this discussion. Dr. Lyerly, maybe we can get you on next week and we will talk about this a little bit more.
You know, I'm always happy to come and talk with you, especially about incredibly important things like this.
We have news coming up next. And when we return, Pam Yonke will be here. We're going to talk about mental health and Wisconsin farmers. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.